It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Have you ever looked at the news online, in print, on radio or TV, and felt overwhelmed, anxious, demoralized, maybe even like you didn't want to follow the news anymore? If so, you're not alone. And our next guest says a big part of the problem isn't you. It's the way the media covers things. She says it's often missing something important, and that something is hope. Amanda Ripley is an author and columnist for The Washington Post. Her books include High Conflict, Why We Get Trapped and How We Get Out. She recently wrote about hope and media coverage. Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
Now, Amanda, I want to start about a year ago. You wrote about a starting point here where you felt like the news was driving you away. Now, what led you from there to digging into this idea of hope in our coverage?
Well, I was trying to figure out, you know, what are the things that are missing from the way the news is traditionally covered that we now know humans need in order to thrive and get up in the morning, right? And it seemed like from all the researchers I talked to, there were three things missing. And those three things were hope, agency, and dignity. And we can debate that, right? But it's pretty clear that people need hope like they need water. That's pretty well established now. So I figured then I'd go back and kind of dig into each one, one at a time, starting with the most controversial one, which is hope.
Hope can mean a lot of different things to different people. Let's start with a working concept of the kind of hope we're talking about here.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's what I realized right away. Is, you know, for 30 years, researchers have been studying this thing called hope, and they defined it really differently than I do, and than I think most of your listeners do. So they define it as distinct from optimism. Optimism is like the generalized belief that things are going to work out okay, almost like a blind faith, right? That's fine. I don't have a lot of that typically, but okay, great. That's one thing. And then hope they define as the rejection of the status quo and a sense of goals for how things could be better and also how you could help potentially get them to be better. So if you distill all that down into a really simple formula, which is how my brain needs to work, it's like goals plus roadmap plus willpower equals hope.
Why aren't we seeing much of that in the media?
Well, this is the thing that I thought was kind of cool, because if you define hope that way, well, then I can get behind that as a journalist, right? I mean, if it's about, okay, I reject the status quo, check, right? If it's about I have goals for a different, better future, check. Most of us can agree with that. If it's about finding out how you get there, well, that's where journalists should be helping their communities, right? Doing rigorous reporting about how problems are attempted to, how communities are trying to solve problems, right? And even if they fail, trying to figure out what needs to happen. And then giving people that sense of agency is a little trickier, that sense of motivation. But it does feel like much more doable and relevant to the values of journalism than this kind of, you know, airy-fairy definition of hope as, you know, everything's going to be fine.
And you've talked to journalists, you write in this piece we're talking about, who don't necessarily buy this idea. They think, okay, I'm just laying out the facts. If all the facts are terrible, well, tough, too bad.
So be it, right?
Yeah, and make the case now for us in the journalism world, in the broadcasting world, that we should think not only think about this idea of hope, but make it part of, a big part of what we're doing.
Yeah, I think once you stop thinking of hope as like gold coins lying on the ground and they're either there or they're not there, it's just actually a lot more interesting, you know? And what we know from the research, again, I was sort of stunned by how much research has been done on this. There's like basically an 8-question hope scale that anyone can answer. We link to it in the post column. And it basically helps you figure out how hopeful you are under this definition, right? Where there's like goals, roadmap, willpower. And what they found is that more than 2,000 studies have shown that people who do better on this scale of hope, they perform better in school and sports and work. They manage illness and pain better. They do better on assessments of happiness, on and on and on and on and on. Even among people whose lives are truly really difficult, among victims of domestic violence, child abuse, other forms of trauma, hope appears to be one of the most effective antidotes yet studied which is kind of incredible. So that would be my pitch for why we should try to find roadmap and goals and willpower, as opposed to assuming it's either there or it's not, and that hope is someone else's problem.
Talking to Amanda Ripley, author, columnist, author of the book High Conflict, talking about hope in media coverage. Amanda, I want to talk about what that could look like, and I'm guessing you wouldn't just throw yourself out there as an example, so I will. I talked to you about your book, High Conflict, subtitle, Why We Get Trapped, Oh No, That's Terrible, and How We Get Out. Hey, wait a minute, that's the hope side. And you looked at some of the worst problems in the world and some of the biggest conflict areas, and you talked to people who literally were working to bring together people who might see themselves as bitter enemies. Can you talk about that kind of work as a roadmap for how we cover difficult issues?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. I didn't always do that. I will say, you know, earlier in my career, I really pursued stories of despair and suffering and corruption and all of the kind of traditional things that light journalists up. Those are the things you get prizes for. Those are the things you get promoted for, right? It shouldn't be that way, but historically it has been sort of accountability journalism, which is important. I'm not saying it's not important, but there's a lot of ego involved in it. And I've just come to realize that it's actually not that helpful for most stories, right? Not all stories, but for many stories and for most communities. And even for my own mental health, you know, I mean, I think for me, a lot of my work now is about really doggedly trying to find hope, to go out and investigate it the same way, you know, I might have once investigated, corruption. Is like, where are there people who have learned something that I don't understand, that I need to know, who have been through the woods and out the other side? And what can the rest of us learn from those people? And there's a whole kind of, I didn't even know this when I started doing this, but I now know there's a whole kind of school of journalism called the Solutions Journalism Network, and people who work really hard to try to make this into something more than just an occasional accident in newsrooms.
This is something I think about, and we've thought about a lot on this show over the years. Like, we try not to do segments that are, this thing is terrible. Have a good weekend. But this thing may be terrible. We don't ignore that, but here's somebody who's working to fix it. Maybe it's one small piece of the puzzle. You know, maybe they don't have the key to solving the whole thing, but there are people working on this. There are people trying for solutions. And with any topic, no matter how bad, it seems like if you go looking for it, that's always out there.
Yeah, like, let's just take this hope thing, right? I mean, it turns out there's a place at the University of Oklahoma, Tulsa, called the Hope Research Center, where they study hope. And they have trained more than 22,000 government employees in Oklahoma, California, and Washington to cultivate hope on purpose in themselves and also in the people they serve in prisons, schools, welfare programs. And they found that it actually works. It reduces burnout, improves outcomes for workers and those they serve. None of this is simple, right? And you have to report it with the same kind of rigor you would report anything else, right? It's not easy. There are things, there are dead ends, there are mistakes. You have to measure it. You have to use data. You have to really turn over every stone. And that's interesting. You know, it doesn't need to be simple. I think readers can handle and listeners can handle a lot more complexity than we think.
What does it look like to try to cultivate hope? How do we, I had no idea that until I read your piece that we could train ourselves in this kind of hopeful thinking.
I know, right? Yeah. I know. I'm trying to adopt this whole mindset. But one of the things is, you know, if we go back to that formula, the goals plus roadmap plus willpower, and then you break those apart, you can think about, well, what does it look like to cultivate goals, right? To imagine that something could be better than it is. And some of that you can do through storytelling, right? Through reporting in other countries or other cities or towns, right? Or even historically, like, why was this not a problem in the past? You know, and try to broaden our own imagination for what our goals could be. And then the roadmap is, you know, figuring out what works, what doesn't work. This is what, you know, science reporting is really good at this at its best. And I think we should take that same approach to all reporting, right? And figure out, like, what works and what doesn't. And those are important stories to help us imagine the pathways to getting to those goals. And then the question of motivation or willpower, there's different ways to define that. But the idea is to help people feel like they matter. And sometimes it's really hard to feel that way. You know, if you think about climate change, it just feels altogether inadequate to think about how I individually matter. And what you can do, though, is look at collective agency. So if you look at an entire state or city or country that has dramatically improved outcomes with regard to climate, it gives you a sense of agency, right? And you start asking, well, why isn't my city doing this? So I do think there is a way to cultivate that, but you have to be really purposeful about it.
It seems like the alternative here, Amanda, unfortunately, is easy to imagine. Cynicism, fatalism, anxiety, a sense that, hey, things are going to be bad and there's nothing we can do to change it. And the worry, I guess, is that could be a self-fulfilling prophecy. What do you think about that?
Exactly. I mean, I think there's something really interesting and slippery about hopelessness. And I know for myself, I've been in story meetings where, I've found it easier to pitch kind of cynical, traditional story approaches as opposed to more hopeful ones. It's almost like it's protective, right? Like hopelessness is somehow, it protects me from vulnerability, from being exposed. Like what if I do a story about something that seems positive, seems like it's working, and then it turns out I was wrong? Somehow that feels risky. And so trying to kind of make that explicit and realize that, actually hopelessness is not protective. It's quite the contrary. It is leading more and more people to tune out of the news, to give up on climate change, on countering climate change or countering racism or other things. It has the opposite effect, in fact, in reality. So we know that 42% of Americans are actively avoiding contact with the news right now, which is higher than in 40 other countries. That's a big problem. And so one of those reasons, and one of the reasons people go to alternate sources of news, which are not necessarily grounded in truth, is because of that sense of despair, of hopelessness. So I do think some of this is really redefining what journalism should be for and what people really need.
Amanda, we'll leave it there. Always good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Amanda Ripley, author of books including High Conflict, Why We Get Trapped and How We Get Out. She joined us to share her Washington Post column, making the case for more hope in our media coverage.